seeking the Lord about what to use for the eschatology school, without one doubt, he showed me Ezekiel now. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 12. We know from this book here that Israel makes it. Now the big question is, what other nations are going to make it? And that question is going to be settled on, how did those nations treat Israel? And tonight, God's watching. He already knows how it'll turn out, but he wants the world to know. And we can watch too. And so the glory of God, God chose for it to be in Yerushalayim. This particular manifestation called the Shekhinah. The Shekinah. And when the Jews got ready to go into the land of Israel, he said, you're going to find in there that people are worshiping God ever under every green tree. Those Canaanites, they've got altars everywhere, but don't you do it. I've got one place for you to do it. And let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 12. And just after he told them they were worshiping under every green tree, he says, you don't do it. Verse 4. Deuteronomy 12, 4. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God. And do you know that when you have that capital L-O-R-D, I'm glad the King James translators didn't try to write it in there, but honored God and his name like the Jews do, and put capital L-O-R-D, but it's Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh when you see it, the ineffable name of God, the one that we mispronounce as Jehovah. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God, but unto the place which the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, unto his habitation. There you're going to go up three times a year, verse 7. And you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice. That's what they did those three times a year when they went up. They rejoiced before the Lord. Verse 11, there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Over and over in this chapter, verse 14, in the place which the Lord your God shall choose. Verse 18, you must eat them before the Lord your God in the place. Verse 21, in the place where the Lord shall put his name. Now this in the Hebrew is called the place, and it's called ha-makom. Ha-makom, the place. This came to mean Jerusalem, and it came to mean the Temple Mount. And in the God, in the Bible, there are many names for God. It eventually became known as his name. He revealed in the Bible that one of his names is HaMakom, the place. Hallelujah. So it's important. I always knew that God knew more about Jerusalem and its importance than I did. And I also knew the devil knew more about it. And so that's what the big satanic fuss is about there. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles, and we know the glory was in the temple, in the tabernacle, and then in the temple. And let's look at 2 Chronicles, and we read today about when, just about this time of year, in the Feast of Tabernacles, Solomon finished the work of the Lord, the house of the Lord. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Verse 1, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. Verse 2, 2 Chronicles 5, 2, then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel. Verse 3, all the men of Israel were assembled unto the king in the feast which is in the seventh month. And they came into the place, we're told in verse 7. And there you know how all the priests were standing and they were praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 11. It came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified, did not then wait by course. The Levites, the singers of Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, and they stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and hallelled the Lord, or hallelujah, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Hallelujah! Ki tov! Ki le'olam chasdo. Hallelujah. Ki tov. Ki le'olam chasdo. Hallelujah. Ki tov. Ki le'olam chasdo. And then when they reached that one sound, the house filled with the glory. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And in verse chapter 7, this feast goes on for a week. And Solomon prays in the nighttime. And the Lord tells him this, chapter 7, verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place. Verse 15. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent to the prayer made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. It doesn't sound to me like God's going to give up on the Temple Mount. Bless the Lord. Now, at the opening of the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, this whole book was written in Iraq. Isn't that interesting? The prophet was there, Babylon, Iraq, today. And some of the elite people out of Israel, Jews, had been carried off to Babylon. Daniel was already carried off. Yehezkel was carried off with a group of elite people. Some people were left and stayed in Jerusalem. God told him he didn't want them to. He told them to get out of town, but the king didn't obey. And so a great number of them stayed over there. The prophet Ezekiel, in this book, before the temple is back home in Jerusalem, before it's destroyed, he prophesies that it's going to be destroyed. His prophecies are not popular. Because false prophets are back in Jerusalem saying it's not going to happen. And that everybody who runs up to the temple will be saved. And that's what the people over in Babylon want to believe. So they don't listen to Ezekiel. And the Lord buttons Ezekiel's lips. He said, don't talk to him anymore. Because they don't believe you. And he had him act out some strange things. He got to act out some strange things. Got to. It was horrible things, but he did it. But he couldn't talk. Then, when the temple was destroyed and burned, God unlocked his lips. And they sent a runner over to tell the people over in Babylon. God said, now you can talk to them. And ever after that, they believed him. And he became their great prophet in the exile. It's amazing about him because for all they knew, God was through with them. For all they knew, they were going to go the way of the flood. Their temple's destroyed. The place of the glory. They're like slaves. But Ezekiel, who started off prophesying to them the trouble they were in and what was going to happen, then God brings the consolation of Israel. And then he tells to those Jews in exile, God's not through with you. You're the remnant. He's going to build Israel out from you. It's still going to happen that a Messiah is going to come from Judah. It's still going to be. And those prophecies take us right over into the millennium. And they are amazing. And we shall look at some of them. This little book, The Mother of the Pound, is written by a doctor, a Jewish doctor, whose family was in that Babylonian captivity. And I'm going to read you just a little bit from this book when he explains a little bit about how it was for those people, because his family lived there until 1948. In the year 586 BC, the best and brightest of us, now dispirited, tired, defeated, and ashamed, were driven like slaves to Babylon, lying on the shores of the Euphrates River. But the Lord, through the prophet Ezekiel, I can just hear him saying, will console you. He will breathe life into you and reattach you to your God. Then he explains about what Ezekiel meant to these people. So the exile of the Babylonian Jews from Jerusalem did not really cause a disconnection after all. Ezekiel and his inspiration helped the people to maintain and even strengthen their connection to God and their faith. And that was the secret of their survival. In Iraq, during the 1930s, when his family was still there, masses of Jewish people made a pilgrimage, not by foot, but by car, to Kefil, the burial place of our beloved prophet Ezekiel. This is 21 miles south of Baghdad. As religious pilgrims, our focal point in Kefil was always Ezekiel's tomb, which was situated in a little dome building, part mud and part brick, with thick walls and only a few small windows. In the center of the burial building was a small dark room containing Ezekiel's tomb. The tomb, some 8 feet long, 4 feet wide, 6 feet high, was overlaid with several ornate covers on which Hebrew inscriptions from the Bible were embroidered. Tells how the people came in, the big crowd that always came moved slowly around the tomb in a counterclockwise manner, reading psalms. So it was the place that even they went to for the three pilgrimage feasts, the prophet Ezekiel, surely the prophet to them. I want to just share a little something exciting with you. I think it's exciting. A prophecy teacher, I think maybe one of the best prophecy teachers in the Assemblies of God, was Dr. David Lewis. And Dr. David Lewis, who became like a mentor to me, he's the father of Becky Brimmer, who is the head of Bridges for Peace. He started telling me about the Ezekiel tablets, stones. And he gave me, he had only three or four books left. He gave the Copelands one, he gave me one that he wrote about it. And in the 1800s, some grave robbers went into the tomb of Ezekiel. And there they found tablets, all of them marble, except a few which were black basalt. They didn't know what they were. They were just nomad grave robbers. But they knew they were antiquities. They broke into the tomb and they carried them out. They kept them for a while until the main grave robber chief got sick. And then he went to Damascus. And in Damascus, he contacted a pharmacist who was also a doctor, kind of. And he said, if you can make me well, I'll pay you with these antiquities. Well, he did help him to get well, so he gave him all the tablets. They later came into the hand of a Christian Syrian woman, and she recognized what they were. And they were the entire book of Ezekiel.
The following 3BI courses are available now for immediate enrollment. Eschatology, Rightly Dividing the Word. Bereshit, The World That Then Was. Bereshit Part 2, In the Beginning. The Book of Daniel. The Book of Revelation. And the Virtual Israel Tour. Enroll and see Israel as never before. Future classes will include Women and the Bible, the Book of Ephesians, and the Book of Zechariah, Emphasis on the Millennium. Dr. Billy Brim's life call is a witness of things she has seen and heard. She shares her witness and years of biblical studies within the 3BI curriculum. Along with Dr. Billy Brim, our other wonderful instructors help bring life to Bible prophecy. For more information about 3BI, visit billybrim.org.
Thank you for joining us today for the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. You can connect with us on all social media at Dr. Billy Brim, Snail Mail, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or billybrim.org, 1-800-972-3447. Again, shalom, shalom.